Lorena giggled as she ran through the field. Butterflies of every color burst from the grass, filling the air around her. She spun in circles, arms raised to the sky, and watched the beautiful insects flitter in carefree patterns. With a joyful squeal, she fell back into the grass and lay as still as possible. It only took a few moments for the butterflies to settle back down. Lorena slowly lifted her arm, reaching towards the large one with purple speckled wings. When her hand drew near it, she froze, held her breath, and then struck like a snake, pinching its wings between forefinger and thumb. She held the struggling insect in front of her face and whispered to it,
"Look at you, little darling. My, aren't you just gorgeous?"
Then she pulled a pin from her pocket. Holding the butterfly as still as possible, Lorena placed the pin against its abdomen and paused. Even in an insect, Lorena felt she could detect the terror in its bulbous eyes. She drove the pin through, wrinkling her nose in a snarl as she watched it flap its wings with increasing desperation. It succeeded only in spinning around the silver shaft. Satisfied the butterfly wasn't escaping, Lorena pinned it into her hair. She made her way to the nearby pond, sat on its bank, and stared adoringly at her own reflection. Lorena smiled as she watched the butterfly slowly die, its wings flapping lethargically against her head. The sun setting behind her, she whispered to her reflection,
"Look at you, little darling. My, aren't you just gorgeous?"
I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Spotify original from Parcast. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. This week, we're visiting the Philippines with a folktale called Mangita and Lorena, about a sibling relationship that turns deadly. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the folktale Mangita and Lorena features animal abuse, attempted murder, and cruelty to children. Please exercise caution for children under 13. Coming up, we'll plant the seeds of this twisted tale. The Filipino folktale of Mangita and Lorena was collected by John Maurice Miller in 1904. It was found on the island of Luzon near Laguna Lake and the Pasig River. Miller's book, aptly titled Philippine Folklore Stories, is one of the world's primary sources of oral traditions from the Philippines. There are over 7,000 islands in the Philippines, which are home to a wide variety of ethnic groups with different mythologies and religions. This diversity produced a wealth of folktales, most of which were passed down orally and traded back and forth between different groups. Some stories have seen countless iterations and revisions, so that tracing them back to the earliest point is impossible. Others have yet to be collected and may have been lost to time entirely. The folklore which has been collected was heavily influenced by the island's history of constant migration and heavily trafficked trade routes. Hindu, Buddhist, Islamic, and Christian ideas can all be spotted throughout Filipino tales. Like religious texts, many of the Filipino stories are told to explain the way the world works. For instance, Mangita and Lorena may include a lesson about the value of being a loving person, but its primary purpose was to explain the origin of a strange green plant that floats down the Pasig River, tying the natural world to a lesson in morality. Mangita blew on the coals in the kitchen fireplace. They sizzled, and a new wave of heat rose up to her rice pot. Satisfied, she turned her face towards the open window and breathed in the fresh air. The Pasig River, which ran across the road from their house, always supplied a refreshing breeze. Mangita wiped the sweat from her brow with the back of her hand, leaving a smudge of dirt across her forehead. She caught sight of her reflection in the side of her polished pot and giggled before calling to her sister.
Lorena, could you please pass me a clean towel?
Lorena was sitting in the corner, paying no attention to her sister's work. She glanced up for a brief moment, rolled her eyes, and went back to brushing her hair. Mangita furrowed her brow. She often wondered how they could be related. They were both beautiful, but as different as night and day. Mangita had almond-colored skin with jet black hair, while Lorena's skin was pale and her hair golden. Mangita worked hard to help their father, while the only thing Lorena worked hard at was avoiding work. Mangita frowned and stood up to grab the towel herself.
Father will be home from his fishing trip soon. Are you going to help us mend his nets this evening? We could use the extra hands and would love to spend some time with you.
Lorena groaned.
Mangita, Mangita, always with the nagging. Can't you just leave me alone for once?
She stood, hairbrush in hand, and strode out the front door, bumping her sister's shoulder as she passed by. Mangita stumbled back and watched her sister go. No matter what she did or said, Lorena was never happy. She wished she knew how to change her, but it seemed hopeless. So instead, she focused on what she could do and continued to prepare her father's lunch. After she finished cooking, Mangita went outside to get started on the fishing net. She stretched the fabric out across the ground, carefully pulling at it from each side in turn. Her sister sat watching her own reflection in the river, still brushing her hair. Mangita felt frustration rise in her chest as she struggled to untangle the woven fabric on her own. The job would have been easier if her sister would help, but she knew getting upset would get her nowhere. She lifted her eyes to the clear blue sky and took a deep breath. It was a beautiful day. The sun was shining and a nice breeze was keeping her cool. Slowly, she began to relax. But Lorena's voice broke through her peace.
Ew! Look at this wrinkly old hag coming towards us.
Mangita turned to see an elderly beggar woman slowly making her way down the road. Her back was so hunched it seemed the only thing keeping her upright was her twisted walking stick. Lorena laughed as the woman drew closer. She called out in her direction.
Where are you going, you old crone?
She turned to her sister and spoke in a mock whisper.
Hopefully walking herself to the graveyard to save us all the trouble.
Mangita gasped and chastised her sister for the remark. Lorena waved her hairbrush dismissively. She stood and stepped into the road in front of the elderly woman. The woman stopped and slowly raised her eyes to the girl who had just blocked her path. There was a strange sort of gravity in the woman's gaze, as if she could see right through you into your soul. It caused a shiver to run up Lorena's spine. Her maniacal grin faltered slightly, but the moment of weakness quickly turned to irritation. She reached out, gripped the old woman's cane, smiled at her, and then ripped it from her grasp. The old woman fell forward, her head striking against a small rock as she landed. She lay in the dirt with her face twisted in pain, a thin line of blood trickling from the cut in her head. Lorena laughed and said,
"Serves you right, you withered old prune."
But her fun was cut short as Mangita snatched the cane from her hands. She exclaimed,
"Lorena, how could you be so heartless? Mother would be ashamed if she knew you behaved so wickedly."
Lorena sneered at her sister.
"Mother is dead. Why should I care what she would think?"
Then she turned and stomped away. Tears of frustration brimmed in Mangita's eyes as she helped the old woman back to her feet.
I am terribly sorry about my sister, Ale. Let me take you inside and bandage that wound. The old woman nodded. Mangita offered her arm and helped her to the house. Once inside, she sat the woman down and began to wash the blood from her head. Mangita breathed a sigh of relief when she realized the cut was little more than a scrape. When she was finished tending to the wound, she apologized again and asked, "Is there anything I can do to help you and make up for the trouble my sister has caused? Anything at all?" The woman reached into her cloak and pulled out an empty bowl.
"If you are offering, I wouldn't turn down a bowl of rice to take with me on my journey."
Mangita smiled. "Take as much as you can, and please stay and rest as long as you like." The woman insisted she must be on her way. She accepted the fresh rice with a smile and headed for the door. But before she left, she turned and faced Mangita.
"Thank you, dear one. I will never forget your kindness."
Then she slowly made her way down the road. Lorena reappeared by the riverside as the old woman was leaving. She snorted and glared across the road at Mangita. Though they had fought many times, there was something in Lorena's glare that chilled Mangita to the bone. It seemed her sister would never forget this moment either. Coming up, the sisters face tragedy brought on by an invisible enemy. Listeners, this month marks 60 years since John F. Kennedy became the 35th President of the United States, ushering his already prominent family into the highest enclaves of political power. But behind their storied successes lie secrets and scandals so severe, if it were any other lineage, they would have been left in ruin. This January, to commemorate this iconic milestone, dig into the dramas of a real-life American dynasty in the Spotify original from Parcast, The Kennedys. This exclusive series from Spotify features your favorite Parcast hosts, including me, covering every angle of the Kennedys from shows like Conspiracy Theories, Unsolved Murders, Crime Countdown, and others. Assassinations and conspiracies, corruption and cover-ups, international affairs, and extramarital ones too. Examine all of the Kennedy family's most controversial moments all in one place. You can binge all 12 episodes of this limited series starting on Tuesday, January 19th. Follow the Kennedys free and exclusively on Spotify. Now, back to the story. Mangita could not wait for her father to return home so she could tell him about how cruelly Lorena had behaved. He seemed to be the only one her sister ever listened to. Usually, their father would saunter back from work with a large grin on his face and loudly announce his presence. His broad fisherman's frame always seemed to fill a room the moment he entered. But this afternoon, when he finally walked through the door, he dragged his feet and made his way quietly to his seat at the table. Her father rested his forehead in his hands and let his eyes droop shut. Mangita decided to wait to tell him about Lorena. She placed a bowl of food in front of him and asked what the matter was. He glanced at the meal and instantly pushed the plate away.
"I am sorry, dear. I'm not feeling well today. I need to lie down for a while."
Mangita took his elbow and helped him to bed. The second his head hit the pillow, he fell asleep. And it only got worse from there. That night, a terrible fever took hold of him, and he tossed and turned, crying out in pain. Mangita did her best to comfort him, placing cool rags on his forehead and forcing him to drink water. But she received no help from Lorena, who avoided her father's room entirely. Over the next few days, their father only got worse. His fever increased, and when he did manage to eat, he struggled to keep any of it down. No matter how hard she tried, Mangita could not get him to drink enough water. Eventually, the skin on his lips began to peel off in dry flakes. Mangita's heart ached as she watched the strongest man she knew wither away to skin and bones. For most of her life, he had been her only guardian, since her mother had died giving birth to Lorena 15 years ago. No matter how hard he had to work, they never lacked for anything. He had even hired an art teacher for Mangita to encourage her love of crafting, something that other parents might have considered an unnecessary luxury. Now all Mangita wanted was one last conversation with him. Finally, one evening, her father woke and seemed to regain his senses. He called his daughters to his bedside. Mangita knelt down beside him and grasped his hand. Lorena begrudgingly stood in the doorway. He spoke to them in a weak and cracking voice.
"My daughters, I love you both, but I fear I will have to leave you now. Please look after one another."
A moment later, he took his last shuddering breath and lay still. Mangita wept, gripping his hand as tightly as she could and covering his forehead in kisses. Lorena just leaned back against the wall and watched, intrigued, as his consciousness faded away to a blank and empty stare. Mangita turned to her sister and begged her to come kiss their father goodbye. Lorena grimaced and said,
"He's already gone. Get a hold of yourself."
She turned and left the room. Lorena's words only made Mangita cry even harder. She thought to herself,
"I am all alone now, left in a cruel world with a cruel sister. Perhaps I should just leave and let her fend for herself."
But she could never do such a thing. She would honor her father's dying wish, even if Lorena did not deserve her care. The months that followed were the hardest of Mangita's life. Despite being in mourning, she had to find a way to make money so that she and her sister could survive. Thankfully, her father had been right about the value of her art lessons. She used her skills to carve beautiful designs into seashells. The people at the market loved them, and she was able to sell them almost as fast as she could make them. Mangita tried to convince her sister to help, but Lorena replied,
"Oh, but sister, you're so good at your little art projects. I would only get in your way."
Mangita offered to teach her, but Lorena laughed off the suggestion. Instead of helping, Lorena would spend her days lounging by the riverside. Even so, Mangita shared half of the money she made with her sister. She had promised to look after Lorena, and that's what she'd do. She used her share to buy their living necessities, while Lorena wasted hers on shiny trinkets. One day, while Mangita carved an intricate nature scene into a purple-tinted seashell, she felt a strange chill creep through her body. She wrapped a shawl around her shoulders. This did little good, for the cold was coming from inside her. She tried to pick up her knife to start working again, but it was growing hard to grip. Her hands were clammy. She thought, "Maybe I'm working too hard. I must need a break." She stood and walked into the kitchen to get a drink of water. The liquid felt cool as it ran down her throat, but the relief didn't last long. When the water reached her stomach, she felt it roil like a tidal wave. A moment later, she spewed it back up onto the floor. Mangita dropped to her knees, forcing herself to breathe. When she tried to stand again, her legs trembled from the effort of holding her up. She called out to Lorena for help, but there was no reply. She slowly crawled over to her bed and pulled herself into it. The blankets were warm to her now shivering body, and her pillow felt soft as a cloud. She closed her eyes and fell asleep. While she savored this brief relief, the fever began to take hold. Lorena sat by Laguna Lake, admiring the 12 new butterflies she had adorned her hair with, she was always at her happiest right after impaling a fresh group of the fragile little creatures. The way their delicate wings weakly danced against her hair caused her heart to flutter. If she could freeze time at that moment, she would. But she was growing hungry, so she sighed and then started skipping her way home. Soon she was striding through her front door, ready to eat. She called out,
"Mangita, is our dinner ready yet? I took the long way home so you could have plenty of time to have it waiting for me."
But Mangita did not answer. Lorena walked into the kitchen and was instantly appalled by the smell. It was as if a rotten fish had bathed in expired milk. She pinched her nose and gagged. She hurried into the bedroom to get some fresh air and found her sister curled up in blankets. Most people would have been concerned by the sight, but Lorena was disoriented and annoyed. She had never seen Mangita rest while the sun was still out.
"Mangita, why are you sleeping? The kitchen obviously needs to be cleaned and you haven't even cooked us dinner."
Still, Mangita didn't answer. Lorena leaned closer. It was then that she finally noticed the sweat on her sister's face and the flushed color of her cheeks. Lorena sighed.
"Oh, Mangita, how could you be so careless as to get sick? I suppose I will have to go to the market for some food. But since this is your mistake, I think it's only fair that I pay with your half of the money."
Lorena grabbed Mangita's money pouch and left, giving her sister no time to protest. She skipped to the market. The only thing on her mind was her supper. Mangita would have to fend for herself. Coming up, Mangita fights for her life against her sister's indifference. Now back to the story. It was a beautiful evening, and the market was bustling with townspeople. The smell of freshly fried quail eggs lingered in the air. Everything a person could possibly want could be found on those streets, from fresh fruit to gold filigree jewelry. Lorena pranced down the street, browsing the wares. She loved the fact that she could buy whatever she wanted without Mangita holding her back. Plus, she could feel everyone's eyes on her butterfly-decorated hair as she walked past the booths. She loved the attention and was especially proud of the way people stepped aside as she passed through. So she took her time, staying until sunset. By the time she stepped back into her home, she had spent all of her sister's money, and all she had to show for it was a bag full of sparkly trinkets and a stomach full of sweets. She called out into the dark house,
"Mangita, I'm back! I forgot to bring you some food, but that's your own fault for taking a nap instead of coming with me. And I see you still haven't cleaned the kitchen."
There was no reply from her sister. Lorena began to get ready for bed, but froze in place at the sound of a strange voice.
"Child, keep it down. Your sister is terribly sick and needs her rest."
Lorena peered into the darkness. There was a strange shadow hunched over her sister's bed. Fear made Lorena's voice tremble.
Who are you? What are you doing in my home?"
The stranger sighed and lit a candle by Mangita's bedside before answering.
"Calm down. I'm here to help your sister get better."
The flame lit up the face of the intruder. Lorena groaned in annoyance. It was the old woman she had encountered on the road several months ago. The woman cackled.
"You remember me then? I certainly remember you. Do not worry, child. I am not here for vengeance."
Lorena snorted.
"Why would I be worried about you?"
The woman narrowed her eyes. The candlelight flickered, casting strange shadows across the wall. They were morphing, changing, turning from normal shadows to giant beasts with snarling teeth. Terror filled Lorena's gut. She wanted to run, but her feet were stuck in place. Then the old woman looked away and the light returned to normal. Lorena struggled to suppress the chill running up her spine. The old woman spoke through gritted teeth.
"I have brought some special seeds which will heal your sister."
She held up a small drawstring bag and set it down by the bedside table.
"Give her one of these every 15 minutes until the bag runs out, and she will be as good as new."
To demonstrate, the woman pulled out a seed and held it up for Lorena to view. It wasn't like any seed Lorena had ever seen before. It was perfectly round and iridescent, sparkling in the firelight. Lorena's eyes widened in awe. Instinctively, she reached out to grab the little jewel. The woman pulled it away and slid it into Mangita's mouth. Mangita's eyes instantly fluttered open, and she glanced around the room. She tried to speak, but the old woman said,
"Go back to sleep, child, and do not worry. I will make certain that all will be well."
Mangita visibly relaxed and her eyelids closed. The old woman placed a kiss on her forehead and turned to Lorena.
"I have other matters I must tend to, so I must leave. Promise me you will give your sister one seed every 15 minutes as I instructed."
Lorena rolled her eyes. The old woman stared her down, standing still as a statue, unwilling to relent. Lorena sighed and said,
"Fine, I promise to feed my sister one seed every 15 minutes.
The old woman frowned and shook her head, but accepted the promise. Then she disappeared into the night. Once Lorena was certain the woman was gone, she snatched the bag from the nightstand and emptied it into her hands. She had never seen anything so beautiful. The seeds not only reflected the firelight, but also appeared to glow from within. Once 15 minutes passed, she dumped all but one back into the bag. She knelt down by Mangita and lifted the orb towards her sister's lips, but then stopped. She couldn't do it. She was disgusted by the very idea that her sister would get to eat such a lovely thing.
"To throw such a wondrous thing as these seeds away would be tragic, and the world doesn't really need Mangita in it. Besides, that old hag will never know the difference."
So instead of placing it in her sister's mouth, she took the seed and hid it in her hair. And one at a time, throughout the night, every 15 minutes, she placed a new jewel into her golden locks. By morning, the bag of seeds was empty, and Lorena was dancing down by the river, watching her sparkling reflection in the water. She'd been right. The seeds belonged in her hair, not in her sister's belly.
"Child, why are you not watching over your sister?"
The old woman's voice startled Lorena while she was mid-twirl. She awkwardly stumbled to the ground, landing flat on her bum. Lorena tried to stammer out an answer, but the woman just brushed past her and hurried into the house. A chill crept up Lorena's spine as she realized that the woman wasn't nearly as frail as she had thought. She pulled herself to her feet and hurried after her. The second Lorena stepped inside, the old woman lashed out at her. The crone appeared to have grown half a foot taller, and her eyes glowed with a peculiar red sheen. She shook the empty seed bag in front of Lorena's face, demanding she tell her where the seeds had gone. Lorena flushed pink and stammered,
"I did what you said. I fed them to my sister every 15 minutes until they were gone."
The old woman clicked her tongue in disapproval.
"You are lying to me. Look at your sister."
Lorena tried to resist, but her curiosity got the better of her, and she turned her gaze on Mangita. Mangita lay flat on her back. Her skin was ashy, and her breath came out in shallow gasps. The old woman scolded,
If you had done as you had promised, your sister would be well enough to dance by the river with you. But instead, she is minutes from death. Now tell me, what did you do with the seeds?
Lorena looked back and forth between her sister and the old woman. She was growing irritated. Why couldn't people just leave her alone? But she crossed her arms and said,
I told you the truth. It isn't my fault that your stupid seeds didn't work.
Suddenly, the entire room filled with blinding light. Lorena clasped her hands over her eyes and dropped to her knees. When the light faded, Lorena was still shaking, too afraid to open her eyes. But then a loud, echoing voice said,
Look at me, child!
Lorena had no choice but to obey. What Lorena saw made her jaw drop. Where the withered old woman had stood, there was a young, glowing fairy. Her wings appeared to be made of translucent taffeta and light itself. In her arms, she held Mangeeta, who appeared to have been made healthy again. The fairy's gaze hardened as she looked at Lorena. Her wings flicked back and forth in frustration.
When I first came to this house months ago, I was testing the nature of your hearts. Mangeeta has proven herself kind and worthy of compassion, but you, Lorena, have chosen nothing but evil. I gave you multiple chances to mend your ways, and yet you refused to think of anyone but yourself.
Trembling, Lorena attempted to protest.
I haven't done anything.
The fairy waved her hand and stole Lorena's voice. She roared.
You did ill by your own sister, choosing to let her die just so you could adorn your hair with jewels.
For the first time in her life, Lorena felt tears brim up in her eyes, and yet they weren't tears of shame or sorrow, but fear. The fairy continued.
Now, Mangeeta will come with me to my island home in the lake, and you, wicked girl, will be sent to the very bottom of the lake, where you will spend the rest of time brushing those seeds from your hair.
With the snap of the fairy's fingers, all three of them disappeared. To this day, Mangeeta lives in peace and happiness with her fairy friends. As for Lorena, she still sits at the bottom of the lake, brushing her hair. Every time she removes a seed, a new one takes its place, and every seed that is freed becomes the green, lettuce-like leaves that float from the lake into the Pasig River. The plants are a constant reminder that Lorena is being punished for her wickedness and a warning to anyone who would dare behave the same way. At its core, the story of Mangeeta and Lorena is a morality tale. It portrays good and evil through diametrically opposed siblings. Mangeeta represented loving and honorable behavior, while Lorena was selfish and actively cruel. This tale is especially interesting because its tellers took it so far as to connect the lessons of morality to a naturally occurring phenomenon in their world. This way, every time the waters of Laguna Lake rise, their children can be reminded of the terrible fate that could befall the wicked. The sad truth is, sometimes life isn't fair. Sometimes good things happen to bad people, and vice versa. This can be disheartening and overwhelming. Stories like Mangeeta and Lorena exist to counteract the emotional toll those struggles take. It's refreshing to see the scales of justice balanced out, even if it is just in a fictional folktale. Tales like Mangeeta and Lorena breathe fresh air into a dark world. Its clear-cut depiction of even-handed consequences works to instill strong core beliefs in people at a young age, which will support moral behavior throughout their lifetimes. And though it probably has nothing to do with it, it certainly makes you think about the saying, go jump in the lake, a little differently. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back next week with a new episode. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. If you enjoy listening to Tales, you'll love my other podcast, Mythology. Mythology retells our oldest stories as an engaging audio drama. Every Tuesday, join me and a cast of voice actors as we dramatize the enduring legends that have shaped human culture since the very beginning. Join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales is a Spotify original from Parcast. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler. Sound design by Carrie Murphy, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Travis Clark. This episode of Tales was written by Amanda Hovseth, with writing assistance by Andrew Kelleher, fact-checking by Adriana Romero, and research by Mickey Taylor. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Fact, fiction, fame. Discover the real story behind one of history's most formidable families in the Spotify original from Parcast, The Kennedys. Remember, you can binge all 12 episodes starting on Tuesday, January 19th. Listen free and exclusively on Spotify.